everybody, and welcome back to the Line of Vienna Suite podcast, episode 129. My name is Will Jones. Joining me tonight, as ever, is Mr. Tom Jenkins. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Will. How you doing, mate?
I'm good, thank you. It's lovely to be speaking to you again. I'm sure you don't feel the same.
Absolutely not.
No, of course. Yeah, we know you all hate me. It's fine. Also on tonight is James Jarvis. Hello, James.
Hello, Will.
Hi, mate. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Ready for to chat a lot of us tripe on this podcast, as I'm sure this will turn into.
I never talk tripe, mate. Nothing but good things come out of this mouth.
Oh, I'm sure. Also joining us tonight for the first time in what seems like forever, although we're very glad to have him back on, it's Mr. Liam O'Meara. How are we, Liam?
Very good, Will. Very excited to be here. I can't wait to hear the itinerary you've got planned for this show.
Oh, absolutely. it's filled with topics and suggestions and all sorts. I'm well prepared for this one, as we all know.
It's all upstairs, isn't it, Will? You don't need written down.
No, not at all. I can think on my feet, to be honest. So we'll start with a couple of weeks back, since it's been that long since we've last spoken. We tried to record with the one and only Mark Hiles, it did happen. However, the podcast... It will never hit air, I don't think, at this point.
Because the audio was a load of shite.
you say that, James, but I think it's that, and just because it's sort of irrelevant now, isn't it? Because the situation changed within about 12 hours of us actually covering it, because, as we all know, the AFL obviously came to their decision, or rather the independent board did, and obviously told us that we'd be handed a suspended 5-point penalty with £70,000 fine, and then obviously the next morning the good people at the AFL then decided to overturn the board that they set up to make that decision. So it's good work from the AFL as always, and we're all huge fans of them here at Line of Vienna, as I'm sure you all know. But anyway, we've obviously managed to retain our positive points. However, it hasn't gone too well in terms of keeping that up and progressing with that, given that that the first outing was then at Accrington Stanley, and boys, it wasn't quite what we expected, was it? Tom, I'll come to you first on that.
I mean, I think, obviously, again, as you say, people won't listen to the podcast because we'd never put it out, but the four or five of us that were on there all predicted 3-0 wins or 2-1 wins or something like that. So we were a little off. I'm glad that we didn't put any money on it. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't the best game. I, by virtue of the dodgy box from the comfort of my home abroad, turned off at 4-1. I'm very, very happy to admit that I did that. The unlucky pair of you two that went didn't quite have that luxury.
Nope.
So I think you're in a much better position to talk about how much of a shambles it was than I am. But suffice to say, the red cards disputed was then obviously the appeal was upheld.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, it probably was a red card by the letter of the law. It just didn't look like one to the naked eye.
I couldn't believe
it killed
that.
It killed us.
I couldn't believe that they haven't overturned it. Although I think it's a little bit more satisfying, because had they overturned it, I think it had then made us more angry, because that they were accepting that they cocked up, and that's the reason that we lost the game.
I don't think we should say that that's the reason we lost the game.
I don't think you can go down
to 10 men, and then you can still... I mean, as MK Don showed against us, going down to 10 men is not the be-all and end-all. It's what you do with it.
Yeah.
And we made that mistake of not bringing Zouma on early enough to cover the gap in defence, and we were 4-1 down before he did it or something like that.
And the weird thing was, and I'm not going to jump to your defence here by any means, Tom, but obviously your favourite player, Liam Bridcut, was obviously the makeshift centre-half, I think, for at least three of the goals, and it seemed to all fall apart when he was slotted in.
He plays at centre-half when he's in midfield, so it didn't really make an awful lot of difference.
Don't start with this again, Tom.
One who brought it up.
We all know you've got a passionate hatred for him, but I think we'll leave it at that.
I don't hate Liam Bridcut. I'm just very, very pleased that he won't be in the team for a very long time.
What do you mean for a very long time? I know he's got re-injured again, hasn't he? But I don't know for how long.
Until January, I believe, and then he's gone.
Is it? Is that how long?
And we can all move on with our lives and have decent footballers in the midfield.
Oh, behave yourself.
He upsets the balance, Bridcut. There's no balance.
Oh, not you as well.
He demands the ball too much. He's a very gifted footballer, but he demands the ball too much. It makes sense why other clubs don't want him.
And I know what you mean, because he's always looking for the ball, but to the point where it's not necessary, almost. Like he's making a point out of wanting the ball and then not really doing anything with it, which I get. but it's not always that. I think he's always looking to play forward. He's always looking to make us better and make us tick. But
it makes us predictable, though. Very predictable. Everything's going through him.
Well, the new thing now is to play out from the back, isn't it? Almost every time Remy seems to have the ball, he always looks to play it out, you know, so it's one of the fullbacks. And then, you know, Liam Bridcutt's nearly always there, wanting it, you know, on the edge of the halfway line. But it's a little bit weird the way that it doesn't normally come off. I mean, he looks like a really talented player, and don't get me wrong, he's, you know, his ability is perhaps way above where the rest of the squad is. But I just think it doesn't always come off, and I think it's a little bit hopeful at times. And I can see where you're
coming from. We had this discussion before, didn't we, Liam, about how he demands the ball and how he insists on himself being the key component of the team. And I mentioned Kincladsey and Janino doing the same for Man City and Middlesbrough. But the problem is, when our system is to play out from the back and the fullbacks are the key components of that, why is the ball then going back into midfield or back to the centre-halves where Liam Bridcutt is occupying space, tries a long 40-yard forward pass, and then loses the ball? Why are we not better just using the fullbacks, using the wingers that we've got at our disposal, rather than someone insisting upon himself being important?
100% bang on. There are the amount of club teams that you could name where the best players almost counterproductive to the team effort. I always think about how much better Liverpool got once they got rid of Coutinho, where everyone else seemed to be able to step up, take responsibility. You've seen it a little bit this season at Chelsea with Hazard going. All of a sudden, Willian looks a different player. Mason Mount takes responsibility. They can be counterproductive when you've got a player that's so exceedingly better than everybody else that not only does he demand the ball, everyone else seems to shirk behind him and give him the ball all the time. And it can really upset the balance, particularly in the middle of the pitch.
Yeah, it's a weird one because he's obviously, he means well when he does it and everything, but it seems to be our best option in midfield, I think, because, you know, when you compare who else we've got, and obviously the prime examples being Sonny Graham, I mean, we'll come to him shortly when we cover yesterday's game. But it does still seem our best option, I think, and although there's that element of counterproductivity to his game, perhaps, I think he's still, you know, he still outweighs starting the likes of Sonny Graham, and although I think he links up well with Jason Lowe, and he does complement his game, you know, to an extent, I do think he's still head and shoulders above. It's just whether or not he fits into the style of football that we're trying to play, and you know, it seems to almost defy how we go forward these days. I don't know whether you boys feel strongly about whether or not you want to actually renew his contracts in January or not. I mean, Tom, I'm sure you'll no doubt be saying no. But Liam, I'm not sure whether you're a massive fan of him to an extent, and whether or not he's actually worth keeping on in your eyes.
Probably not, but it's not because he's poor, and it's not because I don't appreciate the work ethic. I just don't think he suits us. I just don't. I think it just makes us far too predictable. We look better without him in the team, in my opinion.
He's a very good player. I just don't think he fits our team, does he, necessarily? It's a strange one. But, you know, there's no taking away from the fact he's incredibly talented. It's just whether or not he's a Bolton player, as some would say. It's not quite right for us. It's not quite worked, has it? James, I know you obviously went to Stanley as well. And what did you make of that absolute calamity?
Top three of one of the worst games I've ever been to, especially because I have quite a lot of ties with Accrington, because a lot of my family live in Accrington, that some support Accrington full on. So that was just a really, really tough result for me to take personally, especially watching us just completely capitulate after that stupid red card, and Hill just being stubborn, trying to persist with O'Grady up top, who was completely ineffective to try, you know, to have him as an option up front instead of someone who can actually carry a ball forward in that sense, and plug in the gap with Zouma, who I think has improved in recent weeks. I could not understand that game. And honestly, when the seventh goal went in, I was buzzing, because we deserved to get absolutely embarrassed by that. It was disgusting how badly we just fell apart, all that sort of, and all of that. I'm gonna stop now because I'm just getting myself
I was gonna
angry.
Say,
I'm just getting myself angry, and I don't want to go on.
Should we summarize? You're a bit lost for words, James.
Ramble all day.
Is it fair to say you're a bit lost for words on it? I think that's the best way to summarize
it. Oh, I'm not lost for words. I have plenty of words, but I don't want this podcast to go to 3 hours.
Yeah, let's not do that, especially with the... I know that you'd like to express your feelings in that respect, but I think, you know, it's a long time ago now, as I'm sure Tom will tell you.
And, I think my player rate article summed up my thoughts on everything well enough anyway.
Yeah, it did, to be fair, and I think it's obviously a result that it's going to hang over us for a while, although, you know, Keith insisted that it's not, and it was obviously important that we then went on and recovered our form and got back to winning ways to an extent, doesn't it, really? And that obviously... It didn't quite come yesterday, did it? It ended 2-2, but it was about as good a feeling as it could have perhaps been in those added 4 minutes when Dudu found the back of the net with an equaliser. I mean, boys, how satisfied are we actually with that performance? You know, obviously it was actually a very weak performance, I thought, from us in the first half especially, and we perhaps didn't even deserve to draw where we perhaps should have been, you know, desperate for those 3 points, really. Tom?
I think I was underwhelmed, to be honest. I mean, there were two very, very poor goals to give away, really poor goals. And the thing is, when obviously it's a game against Wimbledon, a game against the team that we've got to try and beat and got to try and get above to be able to stay in this league, because they will be there or thereabouts come the final count, 100%, having seen them yesterday. Because without force, I don't see where they get their goals. They didn't look particularly good at the back. But, you know, we're working with a patchwork squad at the moment. That's the problem. We had Darcy come in and do really, really well. Graham come in and do not so well. Zouma starting alongside Wright when really they probably wouldn't be your first choice pair, either of them, even in our current squad without reinforcements. It's a miracle, to be honest with you, that we're managing to get a result like that, especially when you consider the capitulation of the Accrington game. The fight that we showed to at least go back and get a 2-2 draw was commendable. But you wonder why some games there's the spirit and some games there's absolutely none. Yeah. To be honest, the biggest takeaway I've got from that game is that if we can keep Daryl Murphy fit, we've got every chance. Because the man has probably had one good game in the entire time I've seen him play for Bolton. And yet he's got 5 goals in 5 games.
It's just, you know, the backs of it.
When was the last time we had a striker like that? It's so nice to finally have someone that you think will nick you a goal, even if they're playing utter garbage.
It is, and I'm sure it'll do in the world of good, you know, and that confidence, you know, going in. I think somebody had said yesterday it was the first time in his career that he's managed to score 5 goals in a row, which is obviously nice for him, and it's great for us, you know, that we've got some sort of consistency to our attack, at least even if we don't at the back, perhaps. So it was obviously not not the best of performances yesterday by any means, and it certainly didn't make pleasant viewing at times either. I think the defence sort of showed a little bit of weakness to it from time to time, but it's... Like you say, Tom, it's great to see that we actually had some fight in us to go on and get that equaliser, because, you know, 9 times out of 10 the season before, the heads would have dropped and that would have been us dead and buried at 2-1. And I think, you know, that then the story's very different in terms of where our position is. And, you know, the last I heard, Southend were actually winning, and it's lucky that they ended up losing, really, because, you know, those points aren't really something that we can start affording to drop now. It's important that we get as many wins under our belt as possible. James, did you go to the game yesterday? What was your take on it?
Yeah, I went yesterday, and I'm in the same boat that I don't agree over. I agree overall that it wasn't quite a good performance by Ronan Darcy, who I thought was quite good throughout. I was very impressed by him, especially because I thought during August, although it was one of our worst periods, but. Even then, when we were playing well in the games against Wickham and Coventry, I didn't think he was that good overall. So when he came in and he was such a wonderful, energetic and creative performance, I was stunned and absolutely buzzing. I always like to see our lads do well, which is also another reason why I was disappointed with Sonny Graham. I really want this lad to do well, and I like the energy that I see in him, but I just don't know what else he has to his game.
No, it was a very young team, wasn't it, yesterday, and it sort of showed the serious lack of squad depth that we've got at the minute and that we're battling against, because although you see numerous of these players who've been out for a while and they're obviously on the road to recovery and they insist that they're not far off, you know, it's important that we that we sort of at least risk and get them back on the bench at the very least, you know, just to make up the numbers, because I think it was six on the bench yesterday, which was a little bit concerning given that, you know, the amount of players who were supposedly nearing a comeback to the team. It's needed more than ever now, isn't it, really?
Oh, yeah, the injuries are severely crippling us, and it was especially telling when we didn't even have a proper striking option to bring off the bench. I thought, which is why it was very weird, I thought I saw Chris O'Grady starting. I thought he'd at least want that option to bring on if we were behind per se. Obviously, it worked out for us, so I suppose that's good. But yeah, it's just baffling decisions like that that I also thought damaged our overall play in the first half. I thought we were quite poor in the first half, especially.
There's
definitely a place for O'Grady. I mean, the Fleetwood game, he was fantastic, but because it was suited to sort of, because they were a pretty reasonable free-flowing side with a lot of goals. You want to try and shut up shop and try and nick goals rather than play expansive football. I think if we had played that game with the Linden either side, Politic the other side, we'd have been torn to shreds by them. But having O'Grady, having a bit more of a direct style, is probably the reason why we got that win. He's not for games like yesterday and not for games like Accrington, when you should really be trying to get at them and try and score more, you know, try and actually actively score goals. You know, a Linden up against their fullback yesterday wasn't as successful as he was in the MK Dons game when he came on. But still, he's the man who ends up crossing the ball in for the goal. O'Grady's going to do that.
I worry about the defensive element of pretty much every winger we've got. O'Grady consistently leaves chicks and exposed.
Yeah.
Consistently, but I don't see anyone else that doesn't. It's a bit of a weakness of our game that I really don't like. I think attacking fullbacks are causing us problem after problem after problem, because neither side or any of the wingers that we've got in the whole team are generally good in defence, and it does concern me. It's all well and good, this idea of attacking football, but there's a reason we're conceding so many goals, I think, and it's because defensively, from at the top end of the pitch, we're not set up right. We're not looking to defend when we're off the ball.
No.
O'Grady's very, very flat-footed. He's always walking back. And the amount of time Chickson's got two-on-ones against him, it's consistently throughout every game.
Yeah, I think 9 times out of 10, you know, when we lose the ball in the final third, it's then a case of the defence having to make up for the mistakes, because there's not that much effort, I think, in terms of tracking back. And although I'm sure that the work ethic and the commitment's there, it just doesn't show. And I think it's perhaps a severe lack of pace as well. You know, we haven't got the luxury of being able to go forward so you know, strong and then lose it and you know, completely look exposed at the back. And you know, we haven't got that luxury of having some serious cover behind them, because it's just non-existent, really. And I think, you know, that lack of pace really, really showed yesterday, particularly. I think when Sonny Gray gave the ball away for the first goal, you know, the lack of pace from the defence to get back and cover that. And although I'm sure, you know, Tom, you'll protest that Jake Wright actually did okay in that situation, I think he was perhaps, you know, far too slow getting back in that situation. And
I think what I said earlier was that Jake Wright should have been up for the corner. Same as Liam said it as well.
Yeah. It's weird.
He shouldn't have been there. Chickson or Emmanuel should have been on that guy there, not Jake Wright.
Yeah.
Why is a centre-back not going up for a corner? I can't get my head around this. It's weird. Why would he not want to do that? I can't get my head around. I've never seen this before.
I know he's not one of the tallest centre-backs, but I'm in the same boat. If you don't send up a centre-back to win headers, which is primarily what the defenders who do that, it's incredibly strange. It's maybe that's a weakness of his game that people could look to exploit, but it doesn't help if he doesn't have any pace to cover for it, and he definitely does not have any pace to cover.
Exactly.
If we get hit in the counter-attack.
The reason why you leave the full-backs back is because they're usually the quicker ones you could cover on the counter-attack. That's the whole point of leaving them there.
I only clocked this a couple of weeks ago, because I was putting a bet on before the game, and one of the betting companies was offering 50-1 on Jake Wright to score first. And I just assumed that, that's good for set pieces. We weren't really giving it any much thought.
Yeah.
And then obviously the first corner comes and he's there digging his heels into the centre pitch for. What's going on here?
We're just weak, I think, from set pieces. Generally, we're hardly clinical from them, are we? So to even get
we scored from two set pieces, really.
Generally speaking, we're hardly clinical. We're not known for it. So to have any sort of scrappy, you know, centre half even going in there and just getting a toe on it, you know, or anything if it drops to them, is vital, you know, because we haven't exactly got a direct option from a set piece, I don't think.
In their own personality, what centre back doesn't want to go up for a corner though? They defend all game.
I know, you'd be dying for it, wouldn't you? You'd be crying out to go up.
It's weird, isn't it? I can't get my head around it.
Because I think the fullbacks, you know, they're arguably the two quickest in the team, really, bar Verlinden. But it's, you know, they've got the pace to get back. And although they should be the ones that are at least covering to an extent, they do all right when they go forward. I think it just takes far too long for them to get back. I said something similar in the chat yesterday. You know, not leaving anyone back and not having the pace to cover that is just a lethal combination. And I think we get punished from it far too often. And I think we'd really need to work on the set pieces, to be honest, because I think, was it Emmanuel taking corners at Stanley? And it just never beat first man. It was so infuriating.
Darcy was excellent.
They were fantastic. They were fantastic yesterday.
He's filling that role that Crawford was doing before he got injured. He's that person in the centre that has the delivery. I'm so glad he's fulfilling that role really well, because we desperately miss that creativity in the centre. Plus, it allows our wingers to stay outside, usually hit the shots and whatnot, or get back and support the fullbacks if we counter.
What I liked in the game with Darcy is that as the game progressed, he seemed to get more and more confident, but then also sort of see himself as the person that can make something happen.
Yeah.
So you'd see him start to drop deeper and just demanding the ball off Jason Lowe, as if to say, you're not going to do anything with it, give it me. It's good.
Yeah.
But it's good because it's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, that's not Lowe's job. It's the job of Darcy. So it was good to see him, as the game went on, start to believe in himself and think that he can make a difference. And he did. He was brilliant.
He
should have had a
goal that Lowe played out wide. Was the first really, really fantastic creative pass I've seen Jason Lowe play in a year and a half, genuinely.
Yeah. I thought he had a good game yesterday, Lowe, actually. You know, and
he's fine at what he does, but you shouldn't be trying to do anything more than that. That's the thing.
No.
Yeah, be good at what you're good at.
I think it was funny how he was captain yesterday and he seems to take that responsibility quite seriously. You know, it seems to affect him as to when he's skipper and when he's not. You know, he seems to have been the much more dominant, you know, figure in that midfield without Bridcut almost. It's like the two of them are competing for the same role, and to have them both there, it doesn't quite work, because one's, you know, sulking that the other's captain almost. It's a little bit strange. They should just stick to their own roles rather than crying out for that leadership role, because I don't think it's even perhaps that necessary, to be honest.
I don't think
spearing Mido Kamara thing.
Mido was never really a leader, though, in the same vein.
No, but I mean, like, positional sense. I think Bridcut and Lowe, when they're in the same team, perform the same function, and it leaves us, you know, wondering why we've not picked a different kind of midfielder.
Yeah, but then the other option, exactly, Tom, because we need another midfielder there, I think, because, you know, Sonny Gray, we've spoken about this so many times, he's quite a one-dimensional player, and not to be critical to the lad or anything, you know, he's only dead young and obviously still developing his game, but he just doesn't offer us anything new in that. You know, sense it's.
Oh, he's not ready yet. Not at all. He has the energy to play in the first team, but he needs to develop other things in the game. I've suggested that he go out on loan in January, but I suppose that's up to Keith Hill, isn't it?
You just need either Bridcut or Lowe rather than Bridcut and Lowe, and then somebody else next to him who plays a completely, well, not a completely different game, but somebody who offers something different, because we've got similar players all over the field, and they're all quite one dimensional. They're all quite one footed. And it just needs a little spark or something that changes up that game. That, you know, Verlinden offers that. I think, you know, he stands out every week because he's the one who makes something happen. He's got that a bit of flair, and he's not that typical player who's just happy to sit there and just do the job. You know, he wants to win that game for us. And I think, you know, although Darcy did incredibly well yesterday, and I think he deserves to keep his place in the team, I think that role's crying out for someone like Zach Clough. Because he'd do so well under Hill, I think, and it just needs someone who's got that bit of quality and that bit of, you know, sense of urgency going forward. And I think it'd be brilliant to have him back at January. I mean, speaking of a January targets, we've sort of heard a little bit of a whisper on Twitter this evening. I'm not sure how much to read into it. The fact that Josh Fowler might be making a return.
Oh, God, no. No, no, no. I don't want to hear that. No.
Yeah, but
I'm sorry, but no.
What? No, even in a number six role,
you know, no,
like next to Brick or Lowe, would you not even have that?
No, no. I honestly think Luke Murphy right now is better than him. I really do. He would do that. He would do that role better. If he can't call it, in Scotland's top two, he's not going to call it in League One.
Yeah, but he's quite criminal of not offering anything different as well. Luke Murphy. It's like all three of them offer the same thing. And it's you just need someone who's a completely different player in there, and I don't know who else to turn to, really, because I'm not sure whether Vela is better when he's going forward, when he's in a deeper role. I'm not sure, but it needs someone who's
Vela.
That's what I'm saying. Yep. That's what I'm talking about. It's just I don't know who else is out there that's you know, crying out to take that responsibility on, because we're struggling a little bit with squad depth, and we need to really, really have a look in January and assess ourselves.
Oh yeah, I'd agree with that. I completely understand that we need that better player in January, but right now I think Luke Murphy's our best option for that. Sean, maybe Liam would disagree with me, but I think in more recent games he has been demonstrating a better desire to get the ball forward, carry the ball forward from low and push it forward from the centre of the park, which allows the rest of our team to push up. And I think he's been doing that job well, while still having the energy to come back and be strong in defence. Well, he's been stronger than he has been in other games, because let's face it, in August he gave the ball away a hell of a lot.
He did. It's a weird one, but yeah. Liam. Yeah, but go on, James.
No, I was just about to say he's been improving in his all around game since Hill kicked him out of the team initially, and I was disappointed to see him injured before Wimbledon.
Yeah, so it's one that I think we're a little bit stuck on there. Liam, is Luke Murphy the answer? If he's not, who is, or what is even?
Let me just reiterate. I think he's the answer for December. In January, I would look to get someone better.
Yeah. Liam, what's your take on it?
Luke Murphy, he's got better. I will say that, because I've always find that whenever I read anything on Twitter by Leeds fans, I want to see this player that played for Leeds that they, you know, talk about constantly. But he does seem to improve. I wouldn't like to say that I think he's our best option moving forward. I can't.
I'd still say Darcy, but that box-to-box player, I think he's the best option at the moment for that role.
Yeah, but Darcy doesn't play that deep role, does he? It needs someone who's a standard number six, doesn't it, really, rather than a 10.
He's been better. He has been better. And he does have an edge of quality about him, I will say that. There is the odd time where he will slip a ball in that will free someone up between the lines that maybe no one else can really do, especially with Crawford being injured. Mm. But he does have something that others don't.
Yeah.
And it's someone who's our best, maybe, but I would definitely not turn my nose up at an option to upgrade on him, in my opinion.
Definitely not. I just think we need more midfielders, because that seems to be a real lack of strength in the team. And it's I'm sure there's plenty of options in the market that we could perhaps look to recruit in January. But, I mean,
we've got to offload James Ware first.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a weird situation how that hasn't resolved itself at all. I don't know whether it's an issue between the manager and the player or what. It just, you know, obviously he was dragged off within half an hour. I think it was against Man City, that? I can't remember.
I actually went to that game and he was terrible. It was really sad to see just how he was playing. And especially if you can sit in the real context of the game that it's not really even City's under 21s or 23s. It was City's under 18s, really. You know, and you could see that they were kids. And he was just not in the game at all. No. Yeah.
It looks like a player who's like come back from a serious injury and just isn't himself. Almost, you know, he seems like he's had a leg break or something, and he's just not quite recovered from it or something. I don't know whether he's had a past or whatever. Awful.
He's trying to find his career. Will. And I wish him luck.
Yeah, genuinely awful injury history. He signed for Hull along with Will Keane from Man United, and he got injured almost instantly and was out for about 2 years.
Yeah, he's just not found his feet. He's also not the answer. I mean, Liam, just to come back to you on what's the answer in that way. I mean, obviously, James, you were the first to answer in that respect. But what would you say to a Josh Villa return, perhaps in that position?
No. Absolutely not.
No, in any position at all, just not in any capacity at all.
Look, I wish Josh Villa all the luck in the world, but I don't want Josh Villa back.
No, fair enough. Would you take Clough?
Yes, in a heartbeat.
But it'd have to be as a number 10, wouldn't it, really? He couldn't fulfil that deeper role, I don't think. He's not that type of player, is he?
I always thought the Clough's best position was out wide, personally.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was a liability out wide.
Well, do you know?
Yeah. Do you not think he was just like he wasn't strong enough?
I don't know.
Possibly. I like the idea that he's hard to pick up off the left, personally. But he would add a lot to our team in any of those
I think he's a perfect signing, yeah, to be honest. But
the only thing I'd say on Clough, and we were having the conversation about Bridcut about being just wrong for the team. Do you not think he would be just sort of a person hanging around being a bit of a liability, especially when we would, you know, if we're defending in matches? I could see him being a luxury we couldn't necessarily afford.
But I think Hill would use him to his full potential because we've got plenty of wingers, because Parky always used to push him out onto the left. And I think if he's to come in, he's going to put him in the middle.
He struggled at Rochdale on the Hill, didn't he?
I'm not sure. I mean, obviously we didn't hear anything of it, did we? Really, it was a bit of a quiet spell. But I'm not sure whether he's been playing, what he's doing. Is he still at Forest?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just not. Is he in the team or anything? Or I don't know.
No, God no.
You just say nothing of him.
I would be very surprised if he wasn't 100% open to that move.
Yeah, of course he would be. It's just he's got to find that break, hasn't he? Really, because he seemed to. He was such a talent that first year when he came in, and he just seems to have dropped off. I thought he was going to go on and do wonders, and you know he'd sort of turn into a Rob Holding type signing, and then he'd go on and play at the top. But it just hasn't happened for him, has it? Really, and I don't know whether it needs a return to Bolton to allow that to happen. But I think we'll just have to see in that respect. Is there anyone else that stands out to you, Liam? Perhaps as a midfielder to come in and fulfil a role like that? I mean, the other option that we sort of touched on last time was. When Brockbank comes back, you know, could he play midfield? And I think we do need a new player, but you know, as another option, could he?
I think at this level, there's always players available. But and you might let's be honest, we may not necessarily know about him. I mean, I 3 months ago, I'd never heard of Ali Crawford. Yeah. No, I think he's the best player we've ever seen. This is what happens at this level.
I won't go that far.
There's plenty of options, I think, to upgrade. Even in the embargo and all the. Restrictions that we have, there's plenty out there at this level to pick up good players.
But there's no standouts, are there really, bar Clough? It's such a nothing role to the point where nobody, you can't pinpoint one or even a shortlist of players that say, right, they would do the job and that's that. It's just a case of relying on the scouting team to pick someone up who can obviously add that element that we're missing.
But this is why a managerial appointment's really important and why Keith Hill was such a good appointment, because he knows the league. He knows what's out there. And Flitcroft as well.
Yeah.
And that's why it's important that you get people who know the level, because let's be honest, we don't have a clue, do we? Like you say there, we're relying on scouting, we're relying on reputation.
Yeah.
We need someone who knows the league, and that's why I'm happy with having Keith Hill, because he knows it.
I mean, Tom, he's a great talker, isn't he? But do you think he can do the business, particularly in January? He obviously made those 9 signings on deadline day, and I know it was a bit of a rush, but do you think he can you know, pick someone out of the hat and it's going to make a huge difference to us at all, or do you think we're just going to keep plodding on as we are?
I think if your base opinion on Keith Hill's transfer acumen on that first window, then he gets a solid A+ for me.
Yeah.
I mean, getting Daryl... Who would have thought that Daryl Murphy would be available from Forest to come
to
us?
That was a brilliant signing, wasn't it?
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Getting Bridcut, we thought at the time, was a massive, massive coup. And getting Josh Emmanuel has proved to be one of the best signings in years, by the way. Even Chickson, I think, has worked out fantastically well. So, if anyone's going to get someone in to do the right job, I completely trust him to do it. I just wish that he'd stop banging on about arguments with his missus about Chinese things, for fuck's sake.
It's been a huge thing, hasn't it, about whether he's all talk or what. You know, I mean, we're starting to produce results slowly but surely, and obviously we went on that run of form of 3 in a row, whatever it was. I don't know whether it's 4, I'm not entirely sure, but you know, he's... Everyone's saying, you know, he's not untouchable and stuff like that. We obviously saw that on Trotter's blog, Twitter's yesterday, whatever, and I know a lot of people jumped down his throat, but it's a case of him making his mark on the team and making it happen. And I don't know whether it's too soon to expect that of him or whether it's too, you know, overdue. I don't know how you boys see it. I mean, James, do you think it's a little bit soon to be saying, you know, Keith hasn't done it properly yet, or do you think it's, you know, well expected of him by now?
I think he's done better than I initially thought when he came in. I thought it'd be a really difficult job.
Yeah.
And I think he's done better than I thought he would, especially like we were discussing the transfer business. And I think it's fair to say more of his signings have come off than not. I'm glad someone mentioned Chickson, because I think other than Ali Crawford, he's been our best signing. I think Chickson's been incredibly consistent. I know you don't agree, Will, but then again,
Will wants Matty Alexander in net, doesn't he? So Will.
Yeah.
I don't rate Chickson. I just don't see it. Like, I'm sorry. I know
you're you know nothing about fullbacks, lad.
It's bizarre that he was out without a club for what, 4 or 5 months, kept himself fit, has come in and barely put a foot wrong. I mean, I don't see what
I agree with that. Like. I agree that he's not put a foot wrong, but he's not got that. It doesn't. I rate Emmanuel completely right. This is my thing. I get his game, and I think he fulfills that right back role really, really well. It's just it just seems like a bang average left back to me without being horrible. It doesn't add anything forward. But Emmanuel does it. It just needs another Emmanuel at left back almost.
Will Andy Taylor was the definition of a bang average left back. Chixon is a good left back.
I think the best we had in terms of left backs in recent times was Anthony Robinson. I think we just need someone like that again. I don't know what his availability is at all, but you know, to have someone like that.
No. He's at Wigan, signed for Wigan last summer, didn't he? So there's not a chance he's coming.
Is he in the team as well? Yeah.
Every week.
That's perhaps a bit of a push then.
And also the best right back, best left back of recent years is surely Tim Ream, not Robinson.
behave.
I knew that was going to bring
it. I had to do it. I'm sorry, Liam, mate. I had to do it.
Get in the bin, Tom. It's just not noisy, mate.
Anyway, back to the initial argument of Keith Hill. I think he's done quite a good job so far, regardless of how he comes across these interviews. I only care about what he's producing really on the pitch. And yeah, it took some time to build, obviously, understandably, getting the players fit, getting them to be a bit more cohesive. It took some time, but I think we're really starting to bear through. Accrington game aside, which was a complete disaster. But overall, especially since we got our first win, I think we've more been on top. And the Wimbledon game yesterday showed that even if we are playing crap, we do have the ability to grind out results. MK Dons showed the same thing with Daryl Murphy popping up with a last-minute winner. Joe Dodu with another last-minute winner. I'd rather it not be last-minute winners, but at least it shows that he is instilling a different mentality into the club that does say, hey, keep fighting until the last minute, get these last-minute goals and we'll slowly push up. And it's something we were seriously lacking under Parkinson in the Championship, especially.
I mean,
the number of times I watched us go a goal down in the first 5 minutes in the Championship that last season,
and you knew we'd lost the game.
I might as well have left then. Yeah. I literally might as well have just gone. I'm so pleased to think that we went a goal down yesterday, and I'm not thinking, right, that's the game over, I can just leave now.
Yeah,
it's so nice to be able to think that our team can actually score more than one goal in a game. Do you see more than three shots on target?
Do you know what defines that? It's when a load of fans left when they put the stoppage time up, or I think when we missed a good chance or whatever just a few minutes before, and half of them missed it. And I just thought, at this stage now, when we've seen quite a few last minute goals at home particularly, you've got to not expect us to lose there. I think it's completely changed. You bang on, Tom, to be honest. It's a completely different team. You know, they've actually got the fight, they do fight to the last minute, and it's obviously Hill that's massively implemented that, I think, and because I think it absolutely roast them if any of them gave up at that point. You know, it almost looked like we had to an extent, and then that sort of last 2 minutes at a push, maybe a minute and a half, we just looked like we did want that result. You know, we're just crying out for it. I don't know whether, you know, Hill had said something or whatever, but something just seemed to tick, and it was almost inevitable that we were going to score, I feel. You know, it felt like it was coming, and I'm so glad that it had, obviously. And it allows us to sort of push on into the next few weeks. I mean, coming up imminently almost is Accrington Stanley, obviously, on Tuesday. I mean, is it a Leeson.com trophy fixture? Yeah.
It's a knockout game.
It's one of the, I'm not too fussed about it, to be honest with you. If they beat us again, I'm not going to be bothered. I'd rather.
No. This is the most important cup for me.
Really?
We've got a real chance. We've got a real chance of going somewhere.
Yeah. To be fair, I'm in the same boat as these guys. If we're going to push for anything, if we don't get relegation, we can at least put an EFL trophy on our thing.
Yeah.
Like, look at the memories of people celebrating the Sherpa Van trophy back in the 80s.
The thing is, if we win tomorrow, we've got Fleetwood coming up next. And the thing is, obviously, Fleetwood's a difficult game on paper, but they couldn't care less about this. They want to get promoted. Yeah. So I can see them putting out the second string. and being there for the taking.
Possibly. I don't know. I think we should go for it, obviously, but I just mean that if it doesn't happen, then I won't be the most fussed person in the world, to be honest with you. I'd rather us push on in the league, to be honest.
I'd like us to get a trip to Wembley. My last memory of Wembley won't be 5-0 losing to Stoke, thank you very much.
I'd like to be better than that. I think we'd do well to get that far, to be fair. It'd be interesting to see how far we do get if we win tomorrow, but you know, it'd be interesting to see. Obviously, in the league, we've got Peterborough away coming up. I mean, it's a bit of a nothing fixture, isn't it, really? I'm not sure whether it's as much of a hype around that. But obviously, the following week then, you know, coming into Christmas, it's then Southend at home, which is, I mean, is it a bit of an overstatement to say it's one of the biggest games we'll face sort of this season,
no.
at the very least? It's massive for us, isn't it? And, you know, if we manage to get a win at Peterborough, we're then 1 point behind at least. You know, going into that game, it's going to be massive for us, isn't it?
Not really. It doesn't matter because Southend are going to get relegated anyway. So Campbell's not keeping them up.
No, I know, but to at least, you know, get into the point where you can then compete to survive. You know, because I think if we lose that game, we're then sort of, you know.
I think Peterborough is more important. I genuinely think Peterborough is more important because, for one, we're going to have to deal with the most potent attack in the league, mm. with Peterborough having Marcus Madison, Ivan Toney, and Mo Issa, which is over 30 goals between them. That is a terrifying prospect. But if we can come through that, then I genuinely believe we can come through anything.
I mean, hence why I wasn't really expecting anything of it, to be fair. And that's, but it's a good test, I guess, isn't it? More than anything, Tom, what do you reckon? Which is the more important game?
I think Southend is the more important game. I can see if players were sort of getting pushed to come back for a match, I'd be saving them for the Southend game and leaving us with the threadbare squad for Peterborough. The problem is, obviously, then you're risking us to get absolutely battered by them.
Yeah.
But, you know, for example, if Jack Hobbs is semi-fit, I'm not going to bring him back just to try and deal with Peterborough's attack for him to get injured and then we lose him for Southend. You can see it going very, very badly at Peterborough, especially if we concede an early goal. And you're right, there is a bit more fight in this team, a bit more stability possibly, but end of the day, you know, that is potluck. We don't know what we're going to get. Oh, well, it seems like Jekyll and Hyde with Bolton away from home at the moment.
It's very unpredictable, isn't it, to see what'll happen. I think it would be a good result if we get a point there at Peterborough, to be honest. But
I'd take it now. Yeah, for me, a point, I'd take
absolutely.
It now.
Snap your hand off for it. Liam, what's your thoughts on it? Which do you think is a more important game? And you know, are we in with a real chance of survival if we do get results?
I agree almost completely with everything Tom said, really. The Southend game is obviously more important because it's more winnable, isn't it?
Mm.
And we don't have to win a million games to stay up.
No.
You know, the thing is when you're trying to stay up, when you're at the top of the league, you have to keep winning to keep up there. When you're at the bottom, you string two or three wins out of four or five games. It makes a real difference. So the Southend game is massive. And it can't be understated how much it would mean to get off the bottom. That would make a big, big difference before Christmas, in my opinion.
So if we had two losses now, if we lost Peterborough and we lost Southend, do you think that's game over then? Or do you think we're still within a chance of surviving even at that point?
I'm not really believing either way at the moment. I kind of want to see where we are come March, April. I'm happy ruining other teams' days at the moment.
Yeah, it's
good, and let's just see how we are. As long as we're playing better and we're improving,
yeah,
I kind of have an idea that whether it be League One or League Two next year, let's try and get promoted. I really kind of agree with that sentiment from Keith Hill. It's an unusual set of circumstances. I know he has a tendency to talk at his arse, but I feel like he's right with that.
Yeah.
You know,
as long as he's producing it, be right, won't it? But it's perhaps a little bit too soon to assess whether or not we're going to survive, but I think it's always nice to have that thought in the back of your mind as to whether or not it might happen, you know, whether we will get another moment of magic. But
the last thing you want, Will, is the season to be over in November, December, and nothing to be for. You know, that's the worst case scenario.
So is Southend a must win?
It's fun to watch us at the moment because there is still a chance. And that keeps fans coming back and keeps the club ticking over. It's fantastic at the moment.
Yeah, it's a glimmer of hope, isn't it? But, you know, to allow that to happen, is Southend a must win? Would you go as extreme as that?
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is. We're Bolton Wanderers, for God's sake. We should be looking at this lot with disdain. We should be thinking that we can just swap them aside. Yeah. I don't know why we keep on having this small club mentality in this league. The only club that's bigger than us is Sunderland.
We can only face what's put in front of us, can't we, to be honest, Tom?
But you see my point. We shouldn't be going to... The thing is, I mean, I'm falling into the trap of saying we're going to Peterborough and let's hope we get a point. We're Bolton Wanderers.
Yeah.
They've got a good strike force. They've got Mark Beavers, a donkey at centre-half. Daryl Murphy will run rings around that idiot.
In any season, with any context, trying to achieve anything, you need to be beating Southend at home.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It has to happen, doesn't it? And I think if we don't, it's then, you know, causing for concern then a little bit. But... hopefully that it doesn't come to that, and we'll get those results anyway. But before I come on to a couple of Twitter questions that we've got, last thing I was going to ask you boys for was a Accrington Stanley prediction, and then followed up with, at this point in time, will we stay up? So Tom, I'll ask you first.
Accrington Stanley prediction, I think we'll shit out as a 1-0 win.
Yeah.
And will we stay up? Yes, absolutely.
Good stuff, I like the positivity. James?
I think we'll make amends for the last game, barring the referee doesn't absolutely screw us with another stupid sending off. So I'll go for a 2-1 because, and to bring it back to Stanley just really, really quick, we were dominating that game before the red card. They were not coming at us really.
No.
So if we do that in the on Tuesday, I think we'll win. And I've been saying since the start of the season, well, ever since Keith Hill came in, really, that I think we'll stay up now that we've got a bit more stability, and I'm not changing my mind with that anytime soon.
No, good stuff. Liam?
1-0 win, and yeah, let's stay up. Yeah.
I mean, the only thing with the survival there is that I know that Southend's obviously well within reaching distance, but I then don't know what the gap's like ahead of them. You know, like if we get really ahead of ourselves now and we go and win, you know, then we get a point at Peterborough, we go and win against Southend, but then I don't know whether we're then looking at what, like 10 points between, you know,
at least 10 points,
whatever. I don't know how far ahead.
It's at least 10 points, but these are teams that are losing fairly regularly, so yeah. and we should be a team that's winning fairly regularly with the team that we've got, so
I'm just gonna have a look.
This is why we're giving
the gap is easily approachable. I mean, at the moment Tranmere above the relegation zone have 15 points on us, but we also have two games in hand over them.
We do, and then
and Tranmere will get beat most weeks,
and it's MK Dons directly above Southend, and they're
absolutely terrible. We'll also get beat most weeks.
If we get a point and then it takes on to three, then a win against six, and then providing MK Dons lose the next two, it's then an 8-point gap.
Obviously we've got the fixture pile up or whatever to give us games in hand. So technically,
yeah we still got Lincoln, Burton, and Doncaster.
It's so achievable.
Yeah, what is it? Lincoln, Doncaster, and Burton as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then so the only ones we've got confirmed with that, I was going to say that's broke since we last spoke on it as well. So Lincoln is the 14th of January. That's it. Yeah, and then there was a Blackpool game moved, or just by a day or something, or
I don't know. They've got a game that day.
It was a Monday. It's now a Saturday or something. I don't know.
No, they've got a game that day. Well,
oh, are they.
I think they're still in the cup or something. So
right.
Yeah, they beat Maidenhead, so they went through, and then they've got their FA Cup game on the 3rd. Instead of playing us.
Yeah, obviously that's not a game in hand as such, but it will be in the couple of weeks. Sort of thought it depending on how quickly they can rearrange that. But we'll have to see. But yeah, going into Christmas, I think we're relatively confident of survival by our predictions, and I think, you know, as long as we can continue a relatively good run of form, That should pay dividends, but we'll just have to see. The only Twitter questions we've actually got are from Chris Madden, who couldn't make it tonight. Might have to go back to the management debate for a second, because his questions are mainly based around that.
Shock.
First one is, why do you think there's such an aggressive reaction to people who question Keith Hill? Liam, you seem quite entertained by that.
That's such a Chris thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think there is. Is there?
There was that bit in Trotter's blog yesterday.
Imagine getting all that abuse on Twitter. I've no idea what it's like.
But that's just controversy for the sake of controversy, that, isn't it? Like, unless it was heat at the moment, genuine. You know,
I think just because Neil Warnock's available, Chris is like, yeah, let's get him instead. But to take his question a bit more seriously, I think you are well within your rights to criticise Keith Hill, especially if it's because of his some of his naive tactical decisions, like we mentioned with at Stanley, with not bringing on Zuma far enough, starting with O'Grady in the Wimbledon game. I think you are allowed to question things like that. If you're just doing it for the sake of controversy, which I can probably see some people doing, but then no, obviously you're just being a knobhead and trying to disrupt everything. But
James.
I never do things without justification. if you're just criticising because he's flowery in his interviews and his metaphors are annoying, all that sort of stuff, then I think you're just being a bit petty, nitpicky, because that's not really the primary reason to have a go at him. What he does on the pitch is way more important than what he says in the media.
Of course it is. Yeah, okay. I think we've sort of clarified that there isn't. I don't think it's massively aggressive unless people go looking for it. Is it really? It's just a case of allowing him to do his job
around the club at the moment. Yeah, that's why.
I just don't want it.
We're not allowed to criticise the club or the regime. We, to be fair, they've not really given us much reason to. No. The thing is, it's a new, fresh start, etc., etc. Everyone wants to be airy, fairy, and positive.
Yeah,
so we can't call Liam Briscoe shit, even though he's shit.
Don't want it to fade.
If we start losing games, I think you'll see that the right to criticise is well and truly alive.
Yeah.
But at the moment, there's not really much to go at.
I think our fans are missing it a bit, aren't they? Like, not being able to moan. It's something that seems to be naturally, that comes naturally to them almost.
To be honest, I'm all for people having a moan, because it kind of shows that we're going back to being a normal club. Like, we're discussing the negatives and the positives, everything going on. Obviously, don't be a knobhead about it, but you're well within your rights to criticise within reason, as long as it just sparks debate instead of just a flame war.
Yeah,
100%.
It's got to be with reason, hasn't it, I guess. Speaking of sort of which, of being all positive and you know, refusing to criticise anyone, he's also asked, how long do you think we should have as a grace period? Or Hill, rather. I mean, I don't see it as a grace period. I think he's just taken it on the chin and just gone, right, I don't want a grace period, I want to prove that I can do it. And he has sort of just come in and made it happen almost. You know, he's done pretty much as well as he could have done. I think, you know, bar Stanley, bar Rotherham or whatever it was, that was his first game in charge, wasn't it, or whatever. I think
Rotherham was a little bit unfair to have a go at him for. Yeah. I think we all saw all the nine.
That wasn't his side, was it? Really?
We're world beaters now.
Yeah, it's. I don't think there is a grace period as such, Liam. I don't know if you disagree with that. It's fair cop now, isn't it?
There's goodwill around the place, and maybe he does have a bit more credit in the bank because everyone's a bit happier, but only the same anyone else would have had who took the job. He's not asked for it. I don't believe in it massively. I think if we went on a 3 or 4 game losing streak, I think he'd be under pressure like any manager, to be honest.
Yeah, I think you've got to give him, you know, a fair chance, and then once we do start losing, or if we do start losing, then it's only fair that people, you know, have that chance to criticise. But at the minute, I think
if we start losing, I will have a go at Cleek Keefill.
Cheers for that promise. I'll keep you to that. And finally, Chris thinks. Oh, don't you think we should be doing better given the squad we have? I think we're doing as
they've not been fit. That's what I'd say.
Yeah, we don't have.
Yeah, I think we're
the squad we have. We don't have a squad as such. It's just a makeshift thing, isn't it, at the minute?
The majority of them were fully fit, then I'd probably agree with him, because if it was fully fit, I'd probably say we should be at least encroaching double digits by this point. But the injuries have really hit us hard. We've missed a lot of key players. We've not really had a consistent setup. Someone on Twitter mentioned how many players have been injured during Hill's reign, and then I pointed out inversely that since Hill's tenure, he's only ever had 6 players that have been consistently available.
It's a weird one.
I think they're doing something wrong. I'm convinced that the training is wrong, because you do make your own luck. How many of the injuries that we've had have been match injuries? I swear, like 2. Brickett's shoulder, and then Jake Wright did his hamstring or something.
Crawford.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. But the thing is, it's like Brickett ran into Verlinden or something, and then did his other shoulder. I mean, what the hell are they doing where that's happening? And then Brock Bank even said in his interview, like during his rehab, that he felt another twinge that set him back a couple of weeks. Well, wrap them up in cotton wool or do something different that means that this threadbare squad doesn't get any more threadbare. I'm convinced that they're doing something wrong.
Nick Allenby left, didn't he? But that's sort of partway through, and with bad injuries either side of that, so I don't think that's necessarily a factor, and I don't know whether it's a physio squad or what, but it'd be, you know, interesting to see whether we can get these players back fit, and then, you know, and then we can have a fair crack at the whip of them, I think. But at the minute, I think we're doing as well as the current situation allows, to be honest.
There's a lot of games that I look at where I think if we had Jack Hobbs fit or Buckley fit or, Crawford fit, then I can't see us losing. I can't see us losing the Rochdale game. Can't see us losing 7-1 to Accrington for starters. I don't think we'd have dropped points at Sunderland, you know, all these.
I don't look back at many games and go, we should have won that, we should have done better there, we should have done better. It's just Stanley, really. That's
there's no way we should have conceded 3-1 at Rochdale when we were 1-0 up. Not a chance.
Yeah. But there's none that particularly stand out, bar those two, particularly that I say, oh, well, that was a missed opportunity. I think, you know, we've done
Portsmouth
relatively well.
Portsmouth was a missed opportunity.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, we're probably still suffering the adverse effects of not really having a proper pre-season.
Yeah.
Because it's a boring time, but it really isn't stated how important it is, because it properly gets your body back into the swing of things without any serious ramifications. It gives you a really good time frame, and he's not had that. So when you're really pushing yourself forward in that amount of time, it puts a lot of strain, and I'm very surprised that we actually still have a working 11 going together, having to go through all that.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see.
I think to answer the question, we need to cut in some slack, basically.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But yeah, I think that's all the topics covered. Unless you gents had anything else that you wanted to bring up or
the
feels.
I wondered if we could rip off the buff and do a pick the team segment.
I've not heard it, but we can do if you'd like to.
Well, is this a pick the team segment for the next?
Ignore the Accrington game for starters, because you know that could be a complete change squad and we've got no idea what he's doing.
Yeah.
For Peterborough next week, with the players that we think are going to be available, who would you put in the side?
Sorry. Before we do that, who would we add that we think might come back for Peterborough? Because I don't have a clue, because no one
so
gives
quiet.
Us any indication.
I would say probably Hobbs is the only one that I would think could be back.
Possibly.
And maybe Murphy. Maybe Murphy.
Brockbank and Bunny have both been in training, haven't they? But
yeah, I saw Bunny do light training with Will Buckley, so I think they're just on grass.
I think Liam Edwards is back training as well.
Yeah, I don't know how far they are off, though. So based on sort of what we've got to go off, I'm going to go Remy, Emmanuel, and then I'm going to go Earl and Wright, and then Chickson at left-back, Lowe, and might be Luke Murphy. No, I think because Keith likes Sonny Graham too much. But
it's choose your team, not choose his team.
All right, well, I'm going to go Luke Murphy and Lowe, and then Verlinden, Darcy, and Verlinden, Darcy, and Politic, and then Murphy up front. That's going to be my team. Tom, do you want to do yours?
Yeah, Remy in there, Emmanuel right back. Centre halves would be a toss up. I'd probably go with Zuma and Wright again.
You think you'll keep Zuma in, even with Earl back?
I think Zuma's better than Earl. I think Zuma's improved a lot. He's quicker than Earl. Alongside Wright, the thing is, Wright needs someone with a bit of pace to bail him out.
Yeah, we'll see.
So I played Chickson left back, and then same midfield three as you, but I would play Verlinden on the left, Dodu on the right, and Big Darrell up front for 6-6.
Verlinden's got to start, I think, because although he was a good impact sub and whatever, he's got the ability to and the stamina to go the whole game. I think, you know, I don't think we need to wrap him in cotton wool as such. He can pace himself, I think, so that's not one you have to worry about. I think it's more Dodu and O'Grady that you have to worry about fitness-wise. It's a little bit strange how he's tactically switching them about, but I think it's better to have the two kids in, to be honest, rather than those two. But I don't know, it's open to opinion, of course. James?
Well, Remy, Emmanuel and Chickson as full-backs. Centre-half partnership, I'd go with Zuma and Earl. I wouldn't have Wrighting.
Right. Strange.
No, not really. I think Earl was doing all right before his silly mistake at Stanley. He was the better of the. He's been the better defenders whenever he's played centre back in most games, I think. And yeah, it might transfer to inexperience, but I think he'd be able to deal with the threat, especially that the threats of Moise and Marcus Madison and Ivan Toney quicker than Wright would be able to. Midfield, low and I hope Luke Murphy's back. I'll go with him, but if not, it's just going to have to be Sonny Graham, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because he's not going to play Weir, let's be honest. Law, Luke Murphy, Darcy in middle, Valinden on the wing, Dodu on the other wing, and Daryl Murphy up front.
Good shout. Liam?
I would pretty much go for the same team as the weekend, except O'Grady and Valinden swapping.
Yeah, that's fair. But do you not rate Earl, or do you just not think
It's not that I don't rate Earl. I just agree that Zuma had a good game, and I wouldn't take Wright out for Earl.
No.
I'd only take Zuma out for Earl, I think. Even though I've not been that impressed with Wright, if I'm being honest, I feel like you want Wright next to Earl.
Yeah.
Wright next to Zuma, sorry. So I just leave it be. I just wouldn't change. I mean, the only one maybe is Sonny Graham, but like you say, who are you bringing in? If Murphy's fit, yeah, maybe bring him in, but he's probably not going to be, is he? But saying that, Keyfield doesn't tell you, does he? He likes this to be a surprise. This is his little ace up his sleeve, isn't it? A surprise.
It's one of the most frustrating things about him.
It's good though. It's a mental game though, isn't it? Because
it makes for a nice surprise, but it's also extremely frustrating.
Yeah, it's mind games though for managers because they don't know how to set up against us.
Very difficult.
Yeah, he's done it about four or five times, hasn't he, where he's not made any inference to a better return and then all of a sudden they're straight in the team. So.
It's like Bridcut, isn't it?
Yeah. Because when he said the surprise inclusion, I started to think, is Crawford back here? Do you know what I mean?
That's exactly what I thought. And then it just turned out to be Darcy. I mean, I'm glad it was Darcy, but still.
Yeah, it was a nice surprise, wasn't it, I guess, but in the end. But yeah, no, just have to see, because obviously Hill likes to keep his cards close to his chest, doesn't he? So... I think we'll leave it there if we haven't got any other topics to cover or anything like that. It's been a pleasure as always, lads. You can find obviously all our ramblings online via the Sweet website, and leave us a review on iTunes, 5 stars and nothing less. Boys, do you want to plug yourselves? Tom, where can people find you?
Oh, the Bolton fans know where to find me, don't they?
They do. They do now. T Rico 44, is that it?
I don't know. You know better than me.
Something like that, I think. But yeah, just search Tom Jenkins. There's only one. James.
I recently changed my at to Jarvisan247 to reflect my new Twitch name. So yeah, you can follow me on both of those.
You big gamer. Liam.
Hey.
Liam, where can people find you?
I think everyone who's interested in what I say is probably follows me by now.
That's a very good answer. And you can find me at WI1LJ, although I wouldn't advise it. I think if there's nothing else left to say, lads, then it's time to say goodbye. So say goodbye, Tom.
Goodbye, Tom.
Goodbye, James.
Goodbye, James.
Goodbye, Liam.
Goodbye, Liam.
And it's goodbye from me. Thank you very much for listening. Set la vie.